So much then for the symbolism of the five elements. Now, we come on to, rather more briefly, the symbolism of the vase of initiation. Last week, we saw that the Tantra is concerned with experience, with direct experience of what one really and truly is. And from what I've been saying so far this week, it should be obvious, it should be evident, that the Tantra thinks of this experience in terms of the transformation of psycho-spiritual energy. For the Tantra, therefore, the spiritual life starts with the development of one's energies, with the initial activation of one's energies, especially one's spiritual energies. We don't often think of the spiritual life in this way. We think of it in terms of thinking something or feeling something or even doing something or joining something or even committing ourselves to something. But the Tantra thinks of the beginning of the spiritual life as a stirring up of energies, psycho-spiritual energies, the initial activation of these energies. That's where the tantric path starts, when your energies have been aroused, activated. But how? Here we are. In the state of earth, at the most in the state of water, occasionally a spark of fire. Don't get much further than that. How are we to activate our energies, our psycho-spiritual energies? How are we to stir ourselves up? We may be feeling a lump of clay, saturated with a little water, and slightly warmed in front of the fire. We may be feeling like that. So how are we going to get ourselves stirred up, energized, activated, swung into operation, as it were? How is that going to take place? What has the Tantra got to say about this? Well, the Tantra is very clear. It's very unambiguous. It says, through initiation. And this, of course, raises at once a further question. What is initiation? Tantric initiation, that is. In Tibetan, where the tantric tradition flourished in great richness in various forms right down to the present day, or at least the present century, in Tibetan, in the Tibetan language, the word for tantric initiation is wongkur, sometimes for short wong. And wongkur is generally translated either as consecration or as empowerment. And the word literally means, the word wongkur literally means the transmission of power or energy, even the giving of power or energy. This is what wongkur means. And it corresponds, there isn't an exact translation of, it corresponds to the Sanskrit tantric term, abhisheka, which means a sprinkling or baptism with water. And this wongkur, this transmission of power, this giving of energy, or activation of energy, if you like, is a transmission from the guru to the disciple. And this is why, among other reasons, this is why the guru is so important in tantric Buddhism or the Vajrayana. He's very important in all forms of Buddhism, but if anything, he's more important still in the Vajrayana, in the context of tantric Buddhism. In tantric Buddhism, the guru isn't just a teacher. He may teach. On the other hand, he may not. He's not an explainer of text, not an expounder of the scriptures. Though he may explain, he may expound. On the other hand, he may not. In tantric Buddhism, in the Vajrayana, the guru, the Vajra guru, as he's usually called, is essentially one who activates the psycho-spiritual energies of the disciple, who stirs him up, who arouses his energies, who has a sort of impact on him in such a way that his energies cannot but be aroused. Inasmuch as there cannot but be a sort of energy response. Now we know, in our ordinary everyday experience, that different people have a different kind of effect on us. We meet some people, spend a few hours with them, maybe the day with them, unfortunately, and how do we feel at the end? We feel dull, we feel depressed, maybe our best friends, but still. We feel thoroughly drained, washed out, not to say wiped out. We wish we hadn't gone to see them, wish we hadn't even got to know them. We feel drained of energy and vitality. This is the effect that some people have on us. The effect that we have on other people too sometimes. But other people, on the contrary, seem to have a sort of stimulating effect. You spend a few hours with them, or a day with them, or a weekend with them, you feel brighter, more cheerful, more energetic, more vigorous, in a word, more alive. They've stimulated your energies in a highly pleasurable way. Now the tantric guru, the Vajra guru, definitely belongs to the second category of person. The tantric guru, the Vajra guru, stimulates one's energies in the very highest sense, stimulates the psycho-spiritual energies at a very high level indeed. He stimulates them, or he activates them. But though we use the word stimulate, though we use the word activate, the word wankur does, however, literally mean not an activation or stimulation, but a giving, an imparting, a bestowal of power, of energy. As though something literally passed at the time of initiation from the guru to the disciple. As though a portion of the guru's energy passed from him to the disciple. And strange to say, contrary perhaps to many scientific and even psychological notions of ours in the West, this is what the disciple sometimes actually experiences at the time of initiation. He doesn't feel that he's being stimulated or activated. He feels that something is passing from the guru to him. Some portion, as it were, of the guru's energy is being transmitted to him. A sort of charge of spiritual electricity, if you like, he's getting a sort of spiritual shock from the guru. Or he may feel, in a subtler sort of way, not this, but he may feel as though a sort of ray of light had passed from the guru to him, especially from the heart of the guru to his heart. He may even see sometimes a ray of light, or what seems to be a ray of light. He may not be able to understand it, make head or tail of it. It seems so strange. But this is what happens, or seems to happen. Something passes. Something is transmitted. Some portion of energy, some shock, some spiritual electricity, some light, some ray of light, from the guru to himself. And the initiation also is sometimes compared to the planting of a seed. The planting of the seed of knowledge and spiritual experience in the heart of the disciple by the guru. So here also, something is actually put in, as it were. Something is actually planted, in this case, the seed. The guru plants, of course, it is said, but after that, the disciple has to tend and water it and weed it himself by his own spiritual efforts.